From the DLC Media News Center, this is Focus on the Community, a weekly public affairs program produced by the DLC Media News Center. Today's guest is Jim Coffinberry, Senior Economic Advisor with Thrive West Central.
Jim, what we'd like to do today is get a 30,000-foot view of what economic development's all about in this area, the West Central Indiana area. So maybe we ought to start out by asking you, what did you do for Thrive West Central, and how has that changed since you've retired?
Well, now I am able to concentrate mainly and only on Clay County business development and industrial development, whereas before, my last capacity with Thrive was as the Director of Economic Development. And that meant I was over basically a six-county area. And I wouldn't say my time was divided evenly among them. I did more over in Clay County because we had a specific contract as far as economic and business development. But now I can concentrate specifically on outreach to businesses, reacting to any problems they're having, and then also work with the city because they supplied the majority of the infrastructure for the services that we have for the manufacturers and other businesses in the county.
And we have two major areas of development, as I understand it. Please correct me, but let's talk about Industrial Park first. How has that developed over the years?
Well, the Industrial Park started back in the 1990s. At the time, Mayor Crabb had a bunch of acreage around what was then the Norval Pickett Jr. Industrial Park, which basically was Great Dane and Hancor at that time. What we did is we got a group of bankers together and we figured out a way that we could run an access road to the old rail bed all the way in from 40, right there by where Technifab is at. And at the time, there was no Technifab, and the building behind them that they bought, that was not there either. And then there was a 25-acre stretch that we had on the south side of where the Industrial Park Road goes out toward Great Dane's back entrance. We basically came up with a deal where the banks put up, I believe it was $50,000. We applied, the city that is, and the county applied for a grant from the state of Indiana that gave us the money to build the road back in there. In the meantime, the city had the ownership of the road as we built it. We also ran water and sewer just halfway back down that road. The bankers basically told us that if we were gonna do it, as long as we asked $2,000 an acre, then that would pay them back. And they would wait on that for as long as possible. And that's basically the way that started. The first company that we had that located on that was Envirotech, which was a commercial refrigerator manufacturer, like a drive-in freezer thing. It was the building that Technifab now owns that's about halfway in from 40. Then they had some acreage that went with that too that they owned. But after that, Technifab came along, and since then IVC located and PPG came along. And basically what we've done out there is we've used, we had some money to run when IVC came in. We had some grant money that we used TIF revenue to match. We were able to get enough money to pave the road all the way over to where IVC's at and turn up and get it to IVC there.
Now, what is the TIF money, the tax increment financing money?
Basically, tax increment financing is where we declare an area as an allocation area. And what happens then, we don't do it unless there's potential for growth. what happens is there's an assessed, a base assessed value that occurs. And that base assessment, anything that occurs above and beyond that investment-wise, the tax revenue off of that doesn't go to the units. It comes straight to the Redevelopment Commission, and we use that that amount to do either a bond or to do, as our attorney calls, a pay-as-you-go, where we just, we might, like down at the intersection of 59 and 70, we supplemented the city's payments on a bond issue that they had for them to do improvements down there. And we didn't have to issue any debt or incur any debt. So what happened is we've still got an area that there's a limitation of 25 years once you commit to debt. And we can start that clock whenever we need to. It's not started yet.
So the TIF money is money that is tax money that's collected and it's redirected for infrastructure. Is that right?
It's not really redirected. It's money that you have to make the but-for finding in your documents that says, but for this, development will not likely occur. And that means that there won't be a tax impact because that won't occur and the units won't get any money if we don't do infrastructure or whatever it is we do with that money. And it's worked out really well. I think everybody's gotten a lot of benefit because we've actually saved ratepayers having to incur debt to support a lot of this development. It's basically come directly from the folks that needed to have that development done to support their business investment.
And that means since the city hasn't had to go out and borrow money, that favorably impacts taxpayers as well, I would take it.
I like to look at it more as ratepayers, because it's their utilities that are being paid for.
Water, sewer, and electricity, or
water and
electricity.
Sewer.
Yeah, water and sewer. Mm-hmm. Okay, very good. So there's been a lot of development out in Industrial Park.
It's full.
What's that?
It's full.
It's full now. That's great. Is there any room for adding real estate out there, or is there any room to add a second industrial park if it's needed?
That's under consideration, not out there. We've got another location that the commissioners have wanted to consider for a possible industrial park. We're waiting for a rail right of way to be able to be acquired and used as an access road. And at that point in time, there may be a second industrial park. But currently, there is empty land at the Clay County Industrial Park, but it is owned by PPG.
So they can expand their plant if they need to.
Well, that's been their plan all along, is to have a twin plant to what they've got now. So we were going to do that in this last expansion that they did, but they backed off of that and extended the plant to the south. And then we were able to do a bunch of improvements based upon that investment and some other expansions in the area there.
So we know what Great Dane does. They build trailers. What about PPG and the other industries out there? What do they do?
Well, the ADS, I think they're still ADS, used to be Hancor. They make tile. I mean, you just have to drive past there and you can see all that tile piled up. The Technifab guys, they do some fantastic welding. They do a lot of cryogenic stuff, refrigeration kind of stuff. And it's all real shiny. Very impressive to see what they're doing there. But it also means they have to have some guys that do that type of welding and do it well. They can't take a chance without a good expert to do that. The powder coating is what PPG does, and it's one of the cleanest plants that you'll ever go through, because they have to turn the air over many, many times a day to keep any contamination of the powder from happening. If you want blue, you want blue. You don't want to actually have some red in there or something like that. That's what they do. Like you said, Great Dane, they've got a number of things that they do out there for different customers. And then we've got the graphics company, TKO Graphics Company, on the other side of the industrial, on the west side of the industrial park. So, and then Technifab has a big expansion going on there right now. They're moving to the south. They're going to take up all that land all the way back to the road. That will be their that is their property.
All right. A lot going on that's all positive for Clay County.
Yeah.
And the area.
Well, and right now there's not a company that I have had contact with that can find the people that they need. So there's a lot of opportunity. All those companies are saying, look, we will train you. That's how desperate they are for employees. They'll train, and we're going to try and get some help from the school corporation. We're going to be meeting this next week with three companies and the school corporation folks, and there may be something that comes out of that, not immediately, but within the next year maybe. But that's the amazing thing is I'm even referring people from over in Terre Haute that gripe to me about, you know, a crappy job or something like that. And I mean, the companies are hiring, they're willing to pay for people now. And there's also a lot of benefits. So,
yeah. What about the development down at the I-70 and State Road 59 area? What's going on down there?
Well, we've got the Best Western Plus that we supported, and that is basically what gave us the tax increment financing revenue to build the lift station that will serve that entire intersection.
And the lift station is for sewage, is that right?
Yes, yes. And that's what the problem is right now, is we have a very limited amount of pipe to pump through. So right now, it's maxed out on what it can actually get through. That's why we've got to have this project that the city's doing be part of that, is because that line needs to be improved up to the lift station north of 70. So we've got the hotel. They capitalize a lot on the stuff that goes over at the cross-country stuff over in Terre Haute, you know, or over in Vigo County. And I would say that if they're there, they're going to capitalize somewhat on the casino, because there may be people that don't necessarily want to stay over in Terre Haute. They can stay over here, and it's direct shot over on 42 or 70, and they can be at the casino. And we do have an individual that he and his son came to our redevelopment commission meeting. I believe it was in August or September. And they're looking at construction of a hotel. They'd like to also do a conference center with that, and maybe like a strip mall or some related businesses with that. So, and that if they do that, we'll use the tax increment from that, and that may pay for our sewer improvements.
That's great. Anything else going on that you'd like the public to know about as far as economic development and what you do as a consultant?
Well, the thing that I think in Clay County that in Brazil that everybody needs to know, I've worked in West Central Indiana for, I'm getting close to 40 years. And none of the areas that I've worked in have had the degree of cooperation between the city and the county officials. And I mean, the Redevelopment Commission, the commissioners, the county council, the city council, and the mayor. I haven't had any issues on projects, having to kind of negotiate those two toward each other. It's just worked out great, and that's been a big key right there. The other thing is they have an excellent relationship with the manufacturers. And in fact, we just had a visit the other day that we went out on it and had a good visit, saw the entire operation and everything. So, you know, that's something I think it's really important, and it sets this county apart from the others.
Well, this is all exciting, and I appreciate you coming in. Jim Coffinberry, who is a consultant with Clay County, he's been working in economic development in the West Central Indiana area in the Wabash Valley for 40 years, and he continues to help in that area. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
This has been Focus on the Community, produced by the DLC Media News Center. This program is broadcast Saturday mornings at 6 a.m. on 104.9 WAXI and at 7 a.m. on WAMB The Breeze, 11:30 a.m., 106.9 and 99.5 FM. And on Sunday morning at 6 a.m. on 105.5 The Legend and at 7 a.m. on 92.7 The Rock, WFMB. For a replay of this program or any past programs, go to any of our station websites. Thank you for listening to Focus on the Community.